Lectio Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, November the 25th, a pregnant woman and children are among the victims of yet another migrant tragedy in European waters. Pope Francis's message for the International Day of Persons with Disabilities is one of inclusion and respect for rights. And marking the anniversary of the death of the founder of the Pauline religious family, the Pope upholds its charism to preach Christ through all the means of modern communication. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. France and Britain have vowed to step up cooperation to stop illegal crossings after at least 27 migrants died off the coast of Calais on Wednesday. The victims included a pregnant woman and three children, whilst four other people are missing, presumed drowned. The accident is the worst tragedy of its kind in the Channel, involving migrants trying to reach England by small boats. Susie Hodges reports.
The sinking of the inflatable dinghy off the coast of Calais comes as record numbers of migrants have attempted to cross the Channel in flimsy boats from France to Britain this year. It's a dangerous crossing, as the narrow strait of water is the world's busiest shipping lane and also has strong sea currents. The French authorities say five suspected human traffickers have been arrested on suspicion of being linked to Wednesday's deadly sinking. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said he was shocked and appalled by the tragedy, while French President Emmanuel Macron said France will not allow the Channel to become a cemetery. The two leaders spoke on the phone after the sinking and agreed on the urgency of stepping up joint efforts to prevent these deadly crossings. They said they needed to work closely with Belgium and the Netherlands, as well as others across Europe. Macron and Johnson said the tragic loss of life was a stark reminder that it's vital to break the business model of the criminal gangs behind the crossings. But the two nations have also traded blame over this tragedy. The British government has once again accused France of not doing enough to stop the migrants from crossing over the Channel in the first place, while the French Interior Ministry has criticised Britain's less stringent immigration system that makes it easier for migrants with no legal papers to find work. Some observers say this was a tragedy that was all too predictable, given the perilous nature of these Channel crossings and the rapid rise in the number of desperate migrants making the journey in flimsy boats. Over 25,000 people have reached the British coast in small boats this year, which is more than three times the total for the whole of 2020, and there's no likelihood of an early stop to this trend. Despite Wednesday's deadly sinking and the bitterly cold weather, dozens of migrants continued to cross over from France to Britain on Thursday. For Vatican Radio, I'm Susie Hodges reporting.
Australia is sending peacekeeping troops to the Solomon Islands as riots rocked the capital city of Honiara for a second day. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison said police and army personnel would provide stability and security to the Pacific Island nation. The violence began on Wednesday when protesters stormed Parliament in a bid to topple the PM. On Thursday, crowds defied a lockdown and set fire to government buildings, a police station and businesses. Morrison said he had received a request for assistance from the Prime Minister of the Solomon Islands in accordance with a bilateral security treaty the country signed with Australia in 2017. Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, permanent observer of the Holy See to the United Nations, has called for stronger partnerships and collaboration among states and with faith-based and civil organisations to combat the scourge of trafficking in persons. His appeal came in the run-up to today's International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, whom statistics show are the most vulnerable victims of human trafficking for labour and sexual exploitation. Father Benedict Mayaki has more.
Speaking on Tuesday at the high-level meeting on the appraisal of the UN Global Plan of Action to Combat Trafficking in Persons, Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, permanent observer of the Holy See to the United Nations, called for international cooperation and data collection on human trafficking in order to evaluate the progress made and the remaining gaps on the objectives that underpin it. He said that despite the increasing number of states that have developed national data collection systems on trafficking in persons in the last decades, world data is still limited and that weakens more effective international action. Archbishop Kacha pointed at the COVID-19 pandemic as a factor that has made the fight against human trafficking more complex, as it has made victims more isolated and less visible, and exacerbated the vulnerability of those most at risk, including the many millions of women and men who have lost their jobs and have been left without social support. He noted in particular that the vast majority of victims of trafficking are women and girls who are trafficked, sold, coerced or subjected to conditions of slavery in various forms. Children too, especially those without parental care, are also not spared by traffickers. They account for one-third of trafficking victims, especially in the poorest countries where trafficking is linked to the broader problem of child labor. The Archbishop recommends eradicating practices such as pornography and prostitution that dehumanize women and girls and reduce their bodies to mere objects of gratification. In spite of the concerning situation and the challenges, Archbishop Kacha acknowledges the significant progress that has been made in a number of crucial areas in the fight against human trafficking. He notes that many of the social, economic, cultural, and political factors that make people vulnerable to human trafficking have been identified and comprehensive policies and programs to address them have been formulated. More so, advances have been made in formulating legal norms to investigate, prosecute, and punish traffickers and to foster cooperation at and across borders. Concluding, Archbishop Kacha stressed the need for cooperation between local authorities, national governments, and faith-based organizations in the fight against human trafficking. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
At their fall assembly last week, the bishops of the United States voted overwhelmingly to move forward with a National Eucharistic Congress in the summer of 2024 in Indianapolis. It will be the first National Eucharistic Congress in the U.S. in almost 50 years. The Congress will take place in the context of the Bishops' Eucharistic Revival, a pastoral initiative that will officially begin on the Feast of Corpus Christi 2022. The chairman of the USCCB's Evangelization and Catechesis Committee, Andrew Cousins, is among those spearheading the initiative. Christopher Wells of Vatican Radio asked Bishop Cousins about the inspiration for the Eucharistic Revival.
I think it's been a growing movement of the Holy Spirit amongst the leadership of the U.S. Church, but I would say really amongst the whole Church. And there was a moment in September of 2019 when the Pew Research Firm, which is an American research firm, did a study of Catholic belief in the Eucharist. And it showed, according to their study, that less than 30% of Catholics, self-identified Catholics, proclaimed, you know, that they believed in Christ's real presence in the Eucharist. And that number in itself was kind of a shock for everybody. But it also confirmed what has really been a consistent problem in the United States, which is in declining numbers of mass attendance over the years that the bishops have seen. So we were actually already talking about a Eucharistic revival amongst the bishops before the COVID crisis hit us. So we had our first meetings about this revival in January and February of 2020, not knowing what was coming in March. And in March, when the world shut down and people couldn't go to Mass in person and couldn't receive Holy Communion, some of them for months, that simply became more fodder for the desire to help renew the love and faith of the Eucharist of our people. So by the time the bishops were gathered together in November of 2020, we began to speak about this quite openly, and I began planning for it in the beginning of 2021. So it's been a kind of growing movement. And I found actually, even in talking to lay people and people who work in the church and people around the country, that they all believe this is really a providential moment for us to do a revival of faith in the Eucharist.
And that was Bishop Andrew Cousins, chair of the USCCB's Committee of Evangelization. Pope Francis today met with members of the Pauline religious family as they celebrate the 50th anniversary of the death of their founder. The Pope upheld Blessed Giacomo Alberione as a prophetic witness of the mission to priest Christ through all the means of modern communication. Devin Watkins has more.
The Pauline family, which is made up of five religious congregations, one lay association, and four secular institutes, marked the eve of the 50th anniversary of the death of their founder, Blessed Giacomo Alberione, with a papal audience on Thursday. Pope Francis spoke to them about the charism and mission the Italian priest left them, calling it an excellent opportunity for the entire church to reflect on Blessed Alberione's legacy for the new evangelization.
Con grande lungimiranza, il vostro fondatore seppe cogliere.
With far-sighted vision, he said, your founder knew how to embody for the 20th century the necessity that the Word of God might spread rapidly by using and appreciating the most effective tools and manners of expression offered by technological progress. The Pope praised Blessed Alberione as an untiring apostle who was able to read the signs of the times to find the best ways to reach souls. Pope Francis said that those traits still serve as a model for the institutes he founded and challenged members to adapt their own apostolates to the situations and needs of their contemporaries. He urged the Pauline family to continue to live the service embodied by St. Paul, underlining the importance of his passion for the gospel.
Il Vangelo senza passione non può viversi.
The gospel cannot be lived without passion, said the Pope. The gospel of only words goes nowhere. The gospel emerges from the heart, from passion. And he encouraged the Pauline family to embrace the means of modern communication as their pulpit, so that Jesus Christ might be proclaimed to the men and women of our time with the means available to our time. Pope Francis concluded his address by thanking the Pauline family for their dedication and constant prayer, that the holy people of God might be continually nourished by the Word of God.
Preghiera è il mezzo di comunicazione più importante.
Never forget prayer, he said. It is the most important means of communication. If I speak to the whole world but not with the Lord, then it is best to go home. I'm Devin Watkins.
And finally, the Vatican on Thursday released the message of Pope Francis for the UN's International Day of Persons with Disabilities on the 3rd of December. Robin Gomes has more.
The Pope's message for the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, released by the Vatican at a press conference on Thursday, has as its theme, "You are my friends," taken from John's Gospel. "We are called to be friends of Jesus," the Pope says in his message, adding, "This can serve as the spiritual key to accepting the limitations that all of us have and thus be happy and at peace with them." "The Church is truly your home," the Pope assures people with disabilities. "We, all of us together, are Church because Jesus chose to be our friend. Everyone has a part to play. No one is a mere extra," he stressed. Unfortunately, the Holy Father points out that even today, many of them are treated as foreign bodies in society. Discrimination, he notes, continues to be all too present at various levels of society. It feeds on prejudice, ignorance, and a culture that finds it hard to appreciate the inestimable value of each person. "The continuing tendency to regard disabilities as a kind of disease," he laments, "contributes to keeping lives separate and stigmatizing you." In the Church, the Pontiff says, "The worst form of discrimination is the lack of spiritual care, which is sometimes experienced in the form of denying access to the sacraments to those with disabilities." Pope Francis also notes that the COVID-19 pandemic has had grave repercussions on the lives of many of them. "Those who had been confined to residential facilities were particularly hit by the virus, with numerous deaths," he said. "Know that the Pope and the Church are especially close to you with love and affection." The Holy Father points out that the Church always insists that everyone be provided with treatment and that disabilities not prevent access to the best care available. In this regard, the Holy Father commends the bishops' conferences of the United States and that of England and Wales that have demanded respect for the right of everyone to medical care without discrimination. I am Robin Gomes.
That's all for this edition of Vatican and World News. I'm Linda Bordoni. My thanks to Sandro Guarucci. Carucci, bye-bye.